Back together again, you and I, chatting it up Tuesday style, round the wireless, December 10th, 2024, on Connecticut Today. I opened the show talking about the continued reaction to the murder of UnitedHealthcare's CEO. And in my opinion, the real question that needs to be asked about health insurance and healthcare costs in the U.S. CBS News reporter Shauna Mazel checked in from West Palm Beach, Florida, with the latest on the Trump White House transition, and Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio dropped by for her regular Tuesday update, this time around on the latest possible future state spending levels.
So just as I told you yesterday, don't doubt me when I say these things, just as I told you yesterday, you have a lot of twisted people out there who, especially in my business, in the media business, saying, well, you know, there are a lot of complaints going up against the health insurance and healthcare insurance business in the U.S., and will this highlight the growing frustration? And of course, we're talking about this guy who I guess is set to be arraigned in an extradition hearing any moment for the murder of the alleged murder, rather, last week of this UnitedHealthcare CEO in cold blood in Manhattan. And everybody's extrapolating about this. Oh, what does this mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means that you had a triple-A Cicola, as the great Bob Grand used to say in New York, you have a triple-A nutcase who, for whatever reason, shot and killed a guy. I don't want to hear anything about here how this is going to, oh, we're going to rekindle a discussion here about the health insurance industry. It's got nothing to do with one another. It doesn't. And you have lazy, dumb people out there and lazy, dumb people in this business who, in an effort to fill time, especially on cable news channels, will sit here and say, well, you know, what was his motivation and what does this have to do with the shooting of a healthcare CEO? His motivation was he's out of his mind. That's his motivation. Even if you are upset to no end with a healthcare company, a sane person whose brain chemistry is operating in a normal way doesn't kill someone because some underling in a company made a decision that a certain procedure wouldn't be covered without an appeal. I don't get. And again, I'll say it again because we're seeing it over and over. And right after I got off the air with you fine folks last night, I'm starting to see it again. You're starting to see. I saw stuff on a meme on Facebook. Here's what these, actually somebody on Facebook, it has a post out there that lists all the healthcare insurance company CEOs and their salaries. And you know what they put on the bottom of that? And Facebook allowed this, something to the effect of bodyguards take note, or hey bodyguards, is this worth it? Really? Well, is this how many nutcases we have floating around on the street out there, on Main Street, that all of a sudden assassination of somebody is okay because your surgery wasn't covered? Really, Bright Eyes? Is that where we are right now? I got to tell you, folks, we're walking around. Amongst us, there are some real Looney Tunes out there. And again, we're seeing over and over again, all the CEOs make, this guy makes $10 million a year, this guy makes $15 million a year, oh, this guy makes $20 million a year. What do you care? Honestly. Man, one of the few things I can tolerate to any level in this world is jealousy. When maybe you have a feeble, useless life and you're just jealous of somebody because they make $10 or $15 or $20 million. Who cares? What is it with people? I don't get it. I don't understand it. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. CEOs aren't a dime a dozen. They all don't do the greatest job. Some are really good. Some are ass. Some are lousy. But they get paid because they run large companies. And if you look at the relative scale or ratio of what they're getting paid, it's not a heck of a lot. It's not a heck of a lot, but man, oh man. I'm seeing, you know, when stuff like this happens, the ugliness that you start to see from people. And this guy's yelling and screaming and he's going into court. This guy is no hero. Do you understand me? He's out of his mind. He's nuts. He's going to be in a straitjacket during these hearings. But yet I'm sitting there slack-jawed last night reading a lot of this going, oh, and they have look-alike contests by the side. What in the hell is wrong with us? What happened to too many people, especially people in college now? Do they fall out of the high chair when they are of a certain age? I don't get it, man. I just don't. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I'm seeing this headline here. I'm looking at a story from News Nation. Got a couple of friends that work there. The killing has sparked widespread outrage at the U.S. healthcare system. Why? Explain that to me. Honestly, if you have a logical explanation to that, please let me know. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. And the reason I'm chuckling is it's so non sequitur. So this guy gets gunned down in the middle of Manhattan by some nut. Some guy that's got about 5 or 6 cylinders out of 8 running. And all of a sudden, well, this sparks wide outrage at the U.S. healthcare system. Why? One has nothing to do with the other. Oh, so before the shooting, nobody was outraged at their healthcare costs? And what was covered? Oh, so now this shooting is going to change everything. It is the amount of lunacy that follows in my business, in the media here, and in society in general, where we don't have the courage to sit back and say, yeah, that was too bad the guy got shot. The guy that shot him is a real nut. Well, you shouldn't say that, Paul. Why not? He's not? Doing what he did is not the act of a sane individual. Therefore, we should not in any way link that to the sane discussion of any industry in the U.S. You think I'm wrong? Are you cheering this guy? Look, I know it's not all peaches and cream with the health insurance companies. Lord knows I know people that have had a fight for claims. We get it. We understand that. But gloating when the CEO was killed? What do you know? What do we live in, some banana republic here? You people who think, hey, wait a minute, well, you know, maybe this will open the eyes. What, are you out of your mind? Did you hit your head when you were small? Did mommy make you eat pain chips? Was that your snack? Some kids got crackers, you got lead pain chips. I mean, seriously, what in the heck is going on here? Former Washington Post reporter Taylor Lorenz defended the execution of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in a social media post suggesting other healthcare executives should face similar fates as hundreds more twisted trolls took to the internet to revel in the murder. She said, quote, on Blue Sky, and by the way, all the liberals say now, well, go to Blue Sky because we hate Elon Musk and everything. We're going to go to Blue. I have progressive friends of mine say, oh, Blue Sky is so much nicer. It is? Yes, you should go to Blue Sky. Well, here's what she put on Blue Sky, quote, and people wonder why we want these executives dead, huh? Who's we? We want these executives dead? No, you leftist nutcases want them dead. Oh, my God. Lorenz later shared another user's post saying, hypothetically, would it be considered an actionable threat to start emailing other insurance CEOs a simple, you're next? Completely unrelated to current events, by the way. Oh, yeah. You're so cute. Taylor Lorenz, who recently launched her own publication, User Mag, went on to support the criticism of Thompson and other company executives. Quote, people have been very justified in hatred toward insurance company CEOs because these executives are responsible for an unfathomable amount of death and suffering. Really? Can you prove that, Ms. Lorenz? You're a reporter. Give me the. And look, I'm not saying these CEOs are pure as the driven snow, but some of you folks out there who are reveling in this, don't revel in death. Karma is a B.I. You know what a karma is. As someone against death and suffering, I think it's good to call out this broken system and the people in power who enable it. And guess what, Taylor? It ain't going to change anytime soon. It ain't going to change because the lobbyists in Washington aren't going to do anything. Why? Because you keep electing the same people. Lorenz tried to downplay her commentary several hours later, insisting she only meant to encourage peaceful letter-writing campaigns. I love when the lefties backtrack on stuff. It's so funny. She said, quote, "I hope people learn the names of these insurance company CEOs and engage in very peaceful letter-writing campaigns so that they stop ruthlessly murdering thousands of innocent Americans by denying coverage." Okay. All right. Well, again, she is a now former writer for The Washington Post, so I'd love to see, and maybe she has it, the information that says that healthcare companies are ruthlessly murdering people. Or do people just say stuff because they, too, hit their heads when they were small? John Paul in Bridgeport. John Paul, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Oh, my God, Paul, I'm going to send you a Valium.
John Paul, I can't stand the idiocy. The idiocy of some people. It just drives me nuts.
The other day you spoke about national health and all these industrial nations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
Because one thing that you said, that you have to wait forever to get surgery and so on, that's not true. If you need emergency surgery, you get it immediately.
And that's what I said, John Paul. Yes, but if you go and look at the wait times, for example, in Britain.
Elective surgery.
Now, again, there may be people, John Paul, that you and I know, right? Said, oh, all right, it's not killing me. It hurts a little. I'll put it off for a few months. But, John Paul, you and I, we've been around the block a few times. What do you think most Americans would say if their doctor said, well, you know, hey, John Paul, you need that hip replacement, but we can't do it for a year? What are people going to say?
Well, they're going to say, I'll find another doctor who will do it or whatever.
Well, yeah, but again, if you have national, and John Paul, thank you for the call, my friend. Good to hear from you. Yeah, but if you have national health care, this is what people have to understand. And John Paul, thank you, and I'm glad you were listening. Yes, I said that the other day. Listen, if you're bleeding out, if you're dying, if you have an aneurysm that's happening, yeah, they'll put you on the table and get it done. But again, look at elective surgery wait times. And actually, in Canada or in the UK, there were actually wait times. Now, I think the doctors screamed till they got rid of this stuff, but there were actually wait times for some cancer treatments. Well, it's not advancing that far. So we have to wait. Now, granted, you do have oncologists in the country who say, well, okay, we don't have to be so aggressive with the cancer. Let's watch it first, whatever. And different cancers are different levels of spread, how they metastasize, and whatever. But everybody thinks that the answer here is national health care, which it may be. We have Medicare up and running. Seems to work okay. But sometimes Medicare has high denials as well. But, you know, these idiots, these writers, these leftist loons out there saying, well, you know, hey, the guy got shot, too bad, but they're killing people. Now, again, I'm not into hyperbole. I'm not. I am not into hyperbole. But if you're going to accuse healthcare companies of killing some people, thousands of people, and you're going to put it on a social media platform, what's your proof? Now, I'm sure there's been investigative stuff done, whatever, and you may be right. It in no way, shape, and or any form justifies gloating over some CEO who was a father to two or three kids being dead. Are you going to have the guts? Are you going to have the gullions? Are you going to have the castanets? The huevos to go up now to his three kids and say, nah, it's too bad your dad's gone, but, you know, I got an elbow surgery denied once and my elbow hurts. Really? You're going to do that? Is that what you're made of? Okay. At least a couple, three times a week, hook up with our CBS correspondents watching the Trump transition. And again, down in, I guess you could be in a worse place, maybe, I don't know, than weather-wise, West Palm Beach, Florida, and when we're going to get rain and snow and whatever over the next few days in the Northeast. Shauna Mazel, CBS correspondent down there. Hi, Shauna. How are you?
I'm doing well, and yeah, certainly can't complain about this 80-degree weather.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to be covering a campaign or a candidate, you'd be hard-pressed to do worse than West Palm Beach in December, right?
Exactly. Not looking forward to getting back to D.C.
Yeah, so what's the latest, Sean? I know now it's been for the past couple of weeks, the Trump camp led by his chief of staff and all the surrogates still trying to massage some of these cabinet and department head picks through Congress, right?
That's right. Almost immediately after winning the election, Trump came out and began to nominate some of those cabinet picks. But some of them have been a little bit controversial, right? Right now comes to mind is Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard. Now, Hegseth actually was controversial because of some of his past alleged actions regarding drinking and his conduct with women and things that he said about women in combat, Trump obviously wanting to tap him to lead the military, and Tulsi Gabbard as well. But all these candidates are up on Capitol Hill today, really hoping to assuage some of those concerns and garner the support of the Republican senators up there.
Yeah, and at least, Sean, now we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, all the rumblings about Ron DeSantis being Plan B, but at least up until the weekend and up to today, Mr. Trump is still at least cosmetically up front, sticking up for Mr. Hegseth, right?
That's right. He had an interview with NBC Meet the Press that aired on Sunday, and Trump said he was sticking behind him. And even last night on Fox News, Pete Hegseth said that Trump told him to continue the fight. He told him when he picked him it was going to be a tough fight, and he thought he was the right person for the job. But that's right. There has been some rumors floating around that Ron DeSantis could be the backup Plan B, which, once again, can't be a better place to be to cover all of that than Palm Beach, Florida, where I am right now.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Tulsi Gabbard, Shauna, and the guest is Shauna Mazel from CBS News in West Palm Beach. The interesting thing with her is when you look at what people think of her on the left and the right, there are extremes that hate her and there are extremes that say, hey, this is a good pick. So from that alone, it's kind of an interesting scenario with Tulsi Gabbard.
Right. One person who she's been really chummy with, you might not expect, is actually Bernie Sanders, right? She's a former Democrat. She actually switched her party affiliation just this year, right? She ran for president as a Democrat in 2020. But in that process, Hillary Clinton suggested that she might be a Russian asset. Now, will that have any bearing on how, so to say, those Republican senators feel about her? I don't think Hillary Clinton is changing the minds of any Republicans, but that's absolutely right to say that she has people that don't really align with her ideology on all sides of the spectrum.
Finally, Shauna, one of the toughest jobs that's in any administration, and I've read with I've spoken with people who've covered this, who've written books about it, is chief of staff, especially at this time. And Susan Wiles is interesting. Is she kind of, from what you hear, both on the record and on background, maybe off the record, is she trying her best to steer the ship here? Because one thing I guess she is doing is keeping the public comments from Mr. Trump few and far between.
Yeah, and I'll say she did that throughout the campaign. A lot of what we saw happening with the Trump campaign was at the direction of Susie Wiles, and that's the perfect characterization. We may have seen a lot more posts coming out or more comments coming out had it not been for Susie Wiles, you know, steering the ship and really being at the top of the Trump campaign and now being tapped for this chief of staff role. But she doesn't really come out and talk often in public, and so it'll be interesting to see how she takes on this role after the inauguration.
Shauna Mazel. Shauna, thanks. Enjoy the weather down there in West Palm, and we'll chat down the road. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, Shauna Mazel there from CBS News. Megan Portfolio's here. She runs. You're a runner, right? See, you should have inexpensive insurance because you actually take care of yourself.
Oh, I was like, man, it's all dark out and I just want to go home and put my pajamas on. But now you make me feel guilty and now I have to go to the gym. So thanks, Paul.
I'm sorry. How are
this
you
is
feeling?
All your fault.
How are you feeling? I know you had the flu or a cold. Are we feeling better?
Well, I thought I had a man cold, but then it just started getting worse.
Yeah.
And then it was just bronchitis. So I'll try not to cough up a storm and be an annoying guest today.
All right. So we'll make it quick. You have a piece out there that, again, is covering the rumblings of people in the state legislatively and from some of these social groups who still want to spend more money, despite now some of the warnings we're hearing from the governor's office.
Oh, yeah, they don't care. They want what they want, Paul.
Yeah.
So last week, the unions and their buddies, they went to church, literally. There was a private meeting held on Tuesday at a church in Hartford.
Yeah.
Where it was actually really bizarre. I actually found the video on Twitter when I was scrolling. And you've got all these union bosses sitting, like, not on the altar, but, like, at the right in front of the altar.
Yeah.
There's all these union bosses, and then Speaker of the House, Matt Ritter, mm-hmm. and then State Rep Josh Elliott. They're all just sitting up there mm-hmm. and discussing one of my favorite topics, the fiscal guardrails. And the title of this private event was Paving the Roadblocks, meaning that these special interest groups want to completely get rid of the roadblocks. And not just to spend a little bit more, because much of the audio was terrible because it was in a church and the acoustics. So I couldn't get the exact number that Speaker Ritter had said he was going to spend or advocate to spend, but it was somewhere in the millions. Well, mm-hmm. one of the teacher union bosses, the AFT president in New Haven, she gets up and she starts going with, I'm hearing an M from you, but I want to hear a B.
B, billions. Millions
spent.
Yeah.
She wants billions spent. Because apparently we're in a crisis of need, they call it. And so I'm like, what is this crisis of need? I mean, I know we've got issues here, but I mean, we're not like at zombie apocalypse stage. Well, the crisis of need is, so these are their demands, and this is what they want to spend billions of our tax dollars on. Husky health care for immigrants.
Okay.
So we already provide some Husky benefits to undocumented, but mm-hmm. they want to expand it to all of them.
Okay. Yeah.
They want public higher education for all.
All right. So free college. Free college for all. Okay.
College.
Which isn't free because somebody pays
for
it. Yeah. Yeah.
They want unemployment benefits for striking workers.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
That's my favorite too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you choose to not go to work. Like, why should I have to pay you? And then there was other things that they sounded nice. I wasn't really sure what they were getting at with it. They want dignity for paraeducators, which obviously, I mean, I can get on board with respecting our paraeducators.
Sure.
They work very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Dignity for child care workers. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what that means, but I mean, I have much respect for them. And then equity in school funding, which, you know, I think with school funding, obviously we don't want to be sending billions of dollars to like one district that's,
yeah,
you know, got perfect attendance and is perfect, and they bring in a lot of tax revenue to the town, and then there's like failing schools. So that's what they're demanding, and it just took me back to see that this is all going on at church. I'm like, what is God thinking about all
this?
Yeah,
is whatever deity presiding over that church is he, she, or it looking down going no or yes, we don't know. See, that's a very esoteric thing you suggested there, Megan. I'm proud of you. It's very good.
I'm assuming God likes the fiscal guardrail.
Yeah.
He would want us to be responsible with other people's money. Not that I'm probably going to get a, next time I walk into church, the lightning's going to strike because I'm speaking for God.
You know, you wonder too, Megan, if this was just, I mean, with all due respect to Representative Matt Ritter, the State House Speaker, and Josh Shapiro and all those people, is this just lip service? Like, yeah, all right, whatever, we'll listen to what you want, but there are realities here that we have to follow, or not? Are they serious? I don't know.
There's two factions going on right now in mm-hmm. the Democrat majority. And they're the ones like Lamont, Sean Scanlon, our comptroller, Eric Russell. They like the guardrails from everything that I've seen.
Sure.
And they like the fiscal responsibility. And then there's others on the far left that just want to spend. They want to go back to the old days, like the dark ages, where we were spending so much we had to have an income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want to go back to that time period. Now, you know, they were, you know, with the typical unions, you know, they always have their signs. So there was a sign that said, pave the roadblocks or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were on everyone's chairs, and all the panelists had one. And everyone held up their sign except Speaker Ritter. He did not pick up the sign and hold it up. So I don't know. He was fumbling for something. I think he was trying to fumble. It was hard to see in the video, but like maybe a business card or something to hand out. So he could have just been fumbling, but or he didn't want to hold that sign up because I don't hopefully hasn't bought into this yet. Because I mean, this could be bad times for us. We absolutely do not want to bust the guardrails for things like striking worker benefits.
Come on, please.
Oh, can I tell you another fun fact?
Yeah, real quick. Yep.
So CBAC had posted on Twitter that they had state employees at this meeting. Yeah. This meeting was at 1:30 on a work day. So we had state employees at this meeting getting paid because in the CBAC contract, state employees can take days off and not use their vacation days, not use their sick days. Union days.
Must be nice.
Were literally getting paid to be there. I'm not sure if they all went back to work. Maybe I'll FOIA that.
Yeah. Find out. All right, Megan, listen. Megan Portfolio, the guest of Hartford Portfolio. I'm giving you special dispensation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you do not have to go to the gym tonight. Stay home in your jammies. How about that?
All right. I don't know. I'm going to go. You made me feel guilty.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye. All right. See the effect I have on people.